Can you hear me? I'm getting some feedback that the microphone wasn't working. What about now? Drop a one in the chat.
It's sounding good now. It's just like freaking out for a second. Like, but it wasn't doing that before we were talking or before the show. So that's so weird.
What you're hearing right now is our producer, Aaron Thomas. Give him a shout out if you love Benzinga Cannabis Insider. As I was saying, for those who didn't hear, this is Benzinga Cannabis Insider, a show about cannabis business and cannabis stocks. Do drop your favorite cannabis stocks in the chat. We're going to be chatting or discussing all these stocks. If you're missing our co-host, Elliot Lane, don't worry. You can catch him on his podcast. It's called Cannabis Daily. It's every day on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform that you choose to listen to podcasts on. We're going to start with some news out of Delaware. Governor John Carney, Democrat, vetoed a bill to legalize marijuana that the legislature had passed and sent to his desk earlier this month, which honestly is pretty disappointing to see. Right? Against the will of the people, against every public opinion poll, this guy is coming out and saying, I do not want cannabis in my state. For many years, Carney has not wavered in his position against marijuana legalization, though he showed some sympathy for those who need medical marijuana. But he says he does not believe that promoting or expanding the use of recreational marijuana is in the best interest of the state of Delaware, especially our young people. Which, again, it's like a state known for its very flexible, you know, laws in general for business. People go set up there, but they're suddenly, you know, worried about their reputation or the impact it might have to legalize cannabis, which has been shown to reduce opioid and prescription drug consumption, right? To not increase accidents when driving or DUIs, to not increase youth consumption, to actually help decrease the consumption of cigarettes and alcohol amongst teenagers. And this guy is just coming against it. Drop a one in the chat if you think that Mr. John Carney is right with this decision, which I really hope we get a bunch of twos if you're against that. Yes.
What's up? I think this guy's stupid. I mean, that's just dumb, but like, that's just my opinion. So everybody has it. Everybody's entitled to their own. I just saw something in the chat. Like, somebody wanted to look at High Tide. So I have Pro Benzinga, Benzinga Pro ready for you. Okay. Pro.benzinga.com. So, I mean, do you want to take a look at it? Let them know what your thoughts are.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's a very, very interesting company with a very interesting concept. They are opening stores like crazy, right? This is really, an interesting model. They have a lot of, you know, a loyalty program that is super interesting as well. I think it's a fantastic stock. And honestly, again, this is not a recommendation. Can we look at the chart maybe for 6 months?
Six months, for sure. Absolutely.
6 months. Let's see, 1 year.
1 year.
To me, it is looking like a fantastic entry point. Look at that chart. A company that expands nonstop, that increases its sales. Why is the market castigating the stock like this? Why is the market saying this is not a stock I like? Is this just a sectoral thing? Is it something related to Canada, right? There's a lot of Canada bears. I don't think that Canada or Canadian companies have reached their full potential, especially as they start to look outward and start to expand internationally, right? We see even companies like Tilray and Canopy placing big bets on the U.S. So why is High Tide going down so much? Really, it's something that baffles me, that perplexes me. But
let's see what they have in their news. If it loads for me, there we go.
Up that Benzinga Pro.
So, I mean, that was earlier today, right? Yeah, today, this morning. High Tide new acquisitions and loyalty plans imply a higher price mark. So, I mean, there's some potential upside there.
New CTO recently. They continue to buy all kinds of dispensaries. You know, in April, they bought Crossroads Cannabis. They also bought Boreal Cannabis Company, both for around like $1.5 million each. On 420, they sold over $1 million in cannabis. That is very, very interesting to see as well. So it's overall a very interesting stock. That is what I think. I would love to know what you in the chat think.
The world of Izzy, High Tide, beat earnings every quarter, every year. Banks willing lending to them for great rates, always great M&As. That's a good take there. Awesome. So let's move on. So let's do a few more news items, and then everybody in the chat, drop your cannabis stocks, and we'll come right back to this after Javi drops a few more news items that are going on in the industry.
So here's an interesting one. Rift Capital, which used to be Canopy Rivers. This was the originally investment arm of Canopy Growth. Now it's a separate company called Rift Capital. It trades on the OTC under the ticker CNPOF and on the CSE as RIV for RIV, right? RIV Capital. They are being sued by JW Asset Management. That is Jason Wild's management company and investment company. They're suing RIV Capital regarding the acquisition of ownership and control of Etain, which is a women-owned company in New York. Just for some context, Jason Wild's firm, JW Asset Management, owns more than 20%, about 20.4% of the company's issued and outstanding Class A common shares. And they're suing RIV Capital for the move here, right? I would want to see how this unravels a little bit, but I'll be keeping close tabs on RIV. And also how it affects some of JW's other holdings. You know, JW also owns 35% of TerrAscend, which is TRSSF, which competes with Etain in several of these markets. Moving on to the world of sports, Floyd Mayweather and Anderson Silva are doing an endorsement with Smills CBD brand, and they came out basically endorsing this brand. I believe that, you know, it seems almost like Mayweather is responding to Tyson 2.0's.
Yeah, it seems like every athlete is getting in some sort of CBD or THC at this point, right? Like, I mean, it's good for their image. It's relevant and trendy. But I feel like there are definitely more reasons as to why athletes are getting into it. But there are some that make you scratch your head, right?
I mean, here's an interesting one. I don't know who caught the interview with Charlie Batch last week. We interviewed former NFL player Charlie Batch. He's involved in this company called Capstone Holdings. And this guy certainly looks very involved.
Yeah, he's doing it legit.
Exactly, right? So he knows his investments. He understands how money works, how, you know, companies can grow. And he picks his investments, of course, with a team very wisely, right? He is actually active in this.
Right. He has a team behind him.
How active Mayweather is or Anderson Silva.
Right. I mean, at a certain point, like I feel like Floyd Mayweather has so much money. This is just his next venture, right? Like his next thing that he just kind of like will do. Again, that's my opinion, but definitely cool to see more athletes in the space.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. I honestly love it. There's several other cool athlete brands. I love Biola by Al Harrington. There's Heisman by Ricky Williams. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Thomas, a very good friend of Benzinga's as
One
well.
World Pharma. There's One World Products, right? Yeah.
One World Products, OWPC, if you're cool. Interested. One World Products is a very, very interesting stock and company. They're growing cannabis and hemp in Colombia. And
that is interesting.
On plastics, on hemp plastics, right? So that is, to me, one of the most interesting things. They're working with an automaker called Stellantis to replace the plastics in their cars with hemp plastics. Ultimately, Isaiah Thomas told us at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Miami on April 20th and 21st, just took place. He told us, you know, I envision a near future where all the big automakers are using hemp plastics, from GM to Ford. And it doesn't seem that far-fetched, right?
It makes sense. It's sustainable, right? It's way better for the environment than actual plastic. So, I mean, moving in this direction is great for the environment.
Totally. And I mean, it's not that far-fetched, right? Like Henry Ford's first car was made with hemp, and it was set to even run on hemp gasoline, right? This is not something that comes out of the blue. This is not a pipe dream. This is something that can actually be accomplished, right? When we think of the amounts of plastic that goes that go into cars, and the fact that they were constantly renewing cars, were compacting cars, all of this really has a massive impact on the environment, right? Mm-hmm. Cars already run on fossil fuels. Do they also need the materials made from fossil fuels?
Is there a connection between the cannabis space and EV market in the future?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe one day.
And also, autonomous cars will allow people to travel
while consuming, maybe, right? What if we got an autonomous taxi that, you know, you could all, like, face each other and share a joint? That'd be crazy.
You could have like autonomous taxis where they like the smoker or non-smoker. I don't know.
There's obviously a fine line between the law there. We'll deal with it when we cross that bridge.
I don't know if you're too young to remember this, but people used to smoke on airplanes until like 15 years.
I remember. I was a baby, but yeah, I remember. It was crazy. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. So I see a few stocks in the chat. So. Ek Jim, he's asked for MJNA. I just had that up briefly. But I do want to look at IIPR, solid stock right now. I know you have some good insights there, so let's hear it.
Let's get IIPR up on Benzinga Pro. So, I mean, this is a real estate investment trust, right? A REIT. This is one of the most widely recognized REITs in the cannabis space, if not the most. Again, it's been in a downtrend. Can we see the bigger chart, Aaron? Like maybe 6 months?
Yeah. Sorry, there's like there's something going on in the office. I heard some weird noises as I had to turn around. There's always something going on, you know.
So that's again 6 months. Look at the prices for every cannabis stock, right? If you're bullish on cannabis and you're
look at the ETF? What's the leading ETF?
MJ.
Okay. It's about the trend, right?
It's about the trend. Yep. Sad, but true. Yeah, I am a big fan of real estate investment trusts or REITs like IIPR. I'm not recommending IIPR specifically, but I do like REITs in general. The main reason is because there's a hard asset behind the company, right? So even if legislation changes, right? Even if for some reason Biden goes crazy and just goes back on all legalization and, you know, and on all advancements made in the legalization front, even if the industry doesn't work out or doesn't really deliver the potential that we expect it to deliver, you still have some of these hard assets, right? Real estate properties to fall back on. So ultimately, the risk of the investment is not as high, right?
Yeah, I mean, and don't quote me on this. I've heard that real estate is a very safe hedge against all your investments, right? So moving into a direction, if you like cannabis, finding that intersection between real estate and cannabis, I think you can find a good investment opportunity there.
Oh, yeah. And again, like, honestly, chances are that real estate prices don't go down, right? It would be extremely strange for a piece of land to decrease in value.
Well, if you're a home buyer, you do want property, you do want real estate to go down. In my case, I want to buy a house and I want prices to go down to the ground, you know?
And here's the other thing that I like about the IIPR, and it's its current strategy of sale leasebacks. Not that I'm a fan of sale leasebacks, right? For those who don't know, a sale leaseback is basically there's a company that doesn't have enough cash right now, but they own property. In this case, a cannabis company. We've seen a lot of that. Forefront has been a good example. GTI, they owned pieces of real estate that were very valuable, and they needed cash to continue to expand, or, you know, maybe weather some of this market volatility and the market downturns, right? So what they do is they sell the property to IIPR and then lease it back from IIPR at a relatively good price. But again, I think that you know, they used to have an asset that cost them no money, and now suddenly they're spending a lot of money to get access to that same asset. I think on IIPR's front or end, that is extremely beneficial. You have a captive customer for the piece of real estate that you bought that ultimately increases in value over time. And in the meantime, you have almost ensured that you have a tenant for it.
It's using your money wisely. That's great on IIPR, honestly.
And it's a tenant who will pay a premium because they need properties that are specifically zoned for cannabis. Talking about zoning, here's an interesting stock to check out. Zoned properties. ZDPY.
ZDPY.
Yeah. During the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Miami, they announced that they were launching this.
Oh, piece a cannabis of stock that's property. Up. Okay.
Yep.
On the day. Yeah, look at that. What the heck? It's slightly red, but I mean, that's a nice green candle.
All right. So Zone Properties, they announced that they were releasing this piece of software called Zonedomics, where they basically help operators identify pieces of real estate, right? The way people are doing it right now, most people trying to find real estate to grow cannabis or to sell cannabis are doing it using Google Maps or driving.
This was really cool because we did the interview with Brian, right? You and, or not we, as in you and me, but you and Elliot. Did the interview with Brian, and he kind of announced that he was releasing the software with us. So maybe the stock spiked from that on that day. You know, I'm not sure when we did that. That was like a couple months ago, right?
Indeed. No. This was like a month ago, probably.
A month ago. Dang, I'm losing track of time everywhere.
Yep. And here's one from the chat that I was thinking about, and it just got distracted with Zone Properties, and I'll go back to it in a second. The World of Izzy says, don't forget about IIPR's dividend yields, which, by the way, is a 5.3% dividend yield. So
I did want to mention that as well. So good call.
Yeah, not high enough to beat inflation. But here's another good way to just park your money in the hope that the stock will go up over the long term, which, I mean, it should, you know, over a five-year period. And, you know, in that process, still get some returns in the form of dividends, right? I was chatting yesterday during lunch with an investor friend, and he said, you know, I own BASF, the largest chemicals company in the world, because they pay an 8% dividend. I was like, that is awesome. But in this case, okay, let's go back to Zone Properties. So what's interesting about Zone Properties is this piece of software eliminates the need to do all this manually, right? Right now, the way to set up a cannabis grow or cannabis retail facility is you have to identify a piece of real estate that is compliant with all of the state laws. That means that it's usually a certain distance away from a school, a certain distance away from a hospital, even a certain distance away from a bus stop, right? To do that is super hard, finding that piece of land or warehouse that is available. Again, people are going on Google Earth.
Is that specific to each like state?
It is very specific to each state. They all have.
I was going to say, my local dispensary is right across the street from a bus stop.
Exactly. I really don't get the bus stop thing though, right?
Like, yeah, that's weird.
Why? Is it because kids would wait for the bus there?
Yeah, but it's not like the kids could go into the dispensary anyway. They have armed security in front of every dispensary. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, this little 4-year-old looks 21. Go ahead. You know, you have to scan your ID and everything.
What do you think about Planet 13 since you visited Planet 13?
Oh, I mean, what don't I think about it? It's fantastic.
What was your experience? What impressed you the most about the superstore that is Planet 13 in Las Vegas, the largest cannabis store in the world?
Well, so before, let's see. I'd say before, like 2 years ago, I had never stepped foot into a dispensary before, right? And now, you want me to get Planet 13 up here? PL.
For sure.
NHF, right?
PLNHF, from what I remember.
Oh, yeah. I had never been into a, Aaron Bryan, easy to rob at a bus stop. That does make sense, actually. Okay. That is a fair point.
Wow.
So it makes sense, right? Like you buy your cannabis, you walk across the street, you stand at your bus stop, you're holding a bag of cannabis, and you have nowhere to go. Someone could just run up on you, grab your stuff. That does make sense. So a good point there. But what I was saying was, before 2 years ago, I'd never been in a dispensary before, you know? So my expectations were like, okay, small little space. It has like small shelves, displays and such. Then I get hyped up right before we go on this trip and before we know that we're going to Planet 13. And we get there and it's massive. It's the biggest thing in the world. It's like so grand. They have restaurants, they have food places, they have dessert shops, they have merch stores, they have their factory built into their edibles, like factory in the dispensary. It's just like all encompassing. So it's just very mind blowing, right? If you've never been into a dispensary, I'd say if Planet 13 is your first ever experience, definitely lower your expectations anywhere else you go.
Oh yeah. What about the product? What did you make of the product? Did you find
it? They were good. I was there and I was recording. I was recording a lot of the footage, and I did some B-roll shots and stuff. And honestly, it was great. Like the quality itself, from like seeing it within the camera lens and like getting the focal points and everything, I could see like the quality in each strain and the fibers and everything. So it looked like good cannabis.
It was a little bit expensive. I remember us discussing.
Very expensive, for sure.
How would you price this compared to Michigan dispensaries or to Detroit dispensary? I mean, you don't have many in Detroit.
Well, there's always benefits to being a medical user versus a recreational user. Obviously, as a recreational user, you just have to be aware of the fact that you're going to be paying those taxes, right? Those dispensary fees or those state taxes, however much that is. And then if you don't have cash, that's another thing too. So like you have to take into account. So, I mean, in Vegas, right, a lot of dispensaries have moved onto like the cashless ATM system where they have a POS system at the counter that will act as an ATM, but you can use your debit card and it'll charge you $350, but it'll act as a cash transaction. That's what I found most common. So, I mean, as long as you are fine with the recreational fees and taxes and the ATM fee, if you didn't bring cash, whatever, relatively, you can get everything about around the same price, right? It's just the only thing that's different is the state taxes.
Yeah. It should be noted, however, you know, talking about cashless ATMs, Visa does not approve of them and is warning or has issued some warnings to dispensaries using cashless ATMs and other similar solutions to stop doing it, or they will be penalized in some way. Not sure how they would enforce it.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
they federally compliant.
Yeah, I think you can distinguish on your credit card transaction slips. Like companies can tell, like, oh, this person used a Visa, this person used MasterCard. That's why certain places only accept certain cardholders or cards.
Exactly. Should we go into some more news? I have three items out of Latin America.
Let's do some LATAM news. I did see you had that in there for you. Which one you want to start off with
I'll do all three. First one is Farmacielo, PCLOF on the OTC, or
Farmacielo.
P-C-L-O.
Is it Cielo or Cielo?
Farmacielo. Cielo is like the
ceiling
sky. Farmer sky.
Nice.
A little bit, if you say it in English, it sounds like a sci-fi movie. Farmer sky.
They should make that brand. All right, what's the news?
Farmacielo entered the Spanish market with an initial shipment of 300 kilograms of CBD full spectrum oil to extract.
Hold on, we're in America, so change over the metrics.
Yeah, I have no idea.
300 kg is 2.25, multiplied by 2.25.
660 pounds of CBD full spectrum oil.
Quick math on Cannabis Insider.
661. Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Hey, you're close.
I'm pretty sharp. This is Cannabis Finance.
Nice. What else? What else?
Avicanna, also out of Colombia, AVCNF on the OTCQX and ABCN on the TSX, major stock exchange in Canada, completed its first commercial export of Aureus branded THC extracts to Portugal.
They have a ticker.
The ticker again, AVCNF. Or ABCM, depending on if you want TSX or CSE. Another beaten down stock that I see a lot of.
I mean, We saw the trend, right? It's basically following what's going on in cannabis. So we just have to stay strong, right? We have conviction, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, this company in particular, though, I look at the assets and the value of the assets, the hard assets, the land that they have in Colombia, the grows that they have in Colombia, and all the initiatives they have, like for biotech development in Canada, under Johnson & Johnson's J Labs at Toronto incubator, suggests the valuation is completely off, right? Again, not a recommendation. I do not own shares.
No, it's not a recommendation. You're just covering the news.
But another very interesting stock to look at. Finally, one more company out of Colombia. This one trades in the NASDAQ. It's called Flora Growth Corporation, FLGC on the NASDAQ.
How's our boy Luis doing?
Luis Merchan. They acquired a CBD brand called Masaya, or Masaya, which means beyond.
Wait, what's your pronunciation?
Masaya.
No, what was the one you said before that?
Oh, Masaya, because in Argentina we say that the Y like sh instead of Y.
Masaya.
Yeah,
I like yours better. Masaya.
It means beyond.
Nice.
They acquired this CBD brand, continue to expand. They also recently announced, I know their Vessel brand recently announced a partnership with Ricky Williams, who we mentioned earlier in the show, and his brand Heisman, which, by the way, is spelled like high, H-I-G-H.
Nice.
So it's a play on words with the Heisman trophy that Ricky Williams won.
I wish I had that drum sound effect.
Yeah, well, I wish I had known what the Heisman Trophy was the first time I met Ricky Williams.
And oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Check out my Heisman Trophy, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, if you don't know American college sports, you're not going to get it. So you're totally fine.
And maybe some shout-outs. We're almost on time, but some interesting articles.
Okay, yeah.
Cannabis.
Let's see. Hold on. Let me get my banners up, man. Hold on.
Let's
plug this correctly. So wait. Benzinga.com. All right, go for it.
So Benzinga.com/cannabis. You can check the Viridian chart of the week. This week we have a super interesting chart about which cannabis subsectors are still attracting equity capital. Very cool. Another one on Benzinga.com/cannabis. Jim Cramer explains what needs to happen for cannabis stocks to bounce back. We were talking about this all day today. What is going on with cannabis stocks? Well, what needs to happen for cannabis stocks to bounce back, according to Jim Cramer?
Oh, wait. I canceled out that pop-up too fast. I did want a Europe Benzinga Pro for free. That's okay. It's okay. All right. What else we got?
In Australia, there is a party called Legalized Cannabis Australia that obtained record Queensland Senate votes in federal elections.
That is interesting. I saw you throw that into the notes. I used to live in Australia, so that would be kind of cool if one of my previous countries that I used to live in would legalize. That'd be cool.
What's Australians' approach to cannabis like? What is cannabis culture like there? Is there a big cannabis culture?
I couldn't tell you. I was like, how old was I? I was like 4 or 5 years old when I was there, so nowhere near even thinking about that.
I mean, it does seem like
I think you've seen
them like smoking weed on movies, like Bondi Beach, just like surfing and smoking weed.
Right, but you got to think of like, I guess, the culture of the people, the kind of people they are. Right, they're nice people, you know, outgoing, adventurous. So I feel like if you're going to be outdoors, you kind of want to smoke some cannabis to deal with that shit.
Yep. Here's the last one. And after that, I'll be done for today. I hope you didn't get bored. Thank you so much, Aaron Thomas, for saving me today from my lonesome.
All good. I thought, you know, it'd be a little fun if I joined you. And I did want to say, so unfortunately, everybody's so sorry. To anybody that did join us to hear from Mint Cannabis, Raul did have something that did prevent him from trying to joining this time slot. He did ask if we were able to push, but since this is a live show, we weren't able to. So I will talk to Raul. We'll reschedule him. We'll get him onto the next one. So guys, don't worry. If you were here for him, just stick around. He'll be back again next time.
Perfecto. And here to close the show, an interesting take on how to invest in the cannabis industry indirectly. The Boston Beer Company, SAM or SAM on the New York Stock Exchange, launched a new line of cannabis-infused iced teas called Teapot.
That's hilarious.
Canada.
All right, I might try to get some of this. Any PR firms out there that want to represent this company and get good product placement, send it our way. You know, we'll throw it on the stream. Let us know.
But again, if you're somewhat, you know, iffy about investing in cannabis stocks and pure play cannabis stocks, if you're concerned about the legality of cannabis stocks in the U.S. and what, like, the, you know, the Federal Reserve or the SEC or the federal government or FINRA might say about this, this is an interesting way to go at it. The Boston Beer Company, SAM or SAM on the New York Stock Exchange.
All right. Thank you, Javier. That is our show, right?
Yes, that's it.
All right. We'll wrap it here today. Everybody stick around. I don't know if we have anything lined up for after the show, but if not, I'll send you guys there. So don't worry about that. All right, Javi, thank you. This was a great show. I will see you again on Thursday. And to everybody out there, be well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sticking around.
Yes, of course.